This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball! It's good! The flipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walk it off here at McPherson Stadium! Oh, this place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me in the brand new year of 2018, Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, how are we doing?
Oh, just ducky.
Have
just
you completed ducky. All your New Year's resolutions?
I've probably broken them all.
I have a feeling that you are a guy that doesn't set a lot of New Year's resolutions.
I don't.
That you say, I'm pretty cool with the way I am right now.
I'm just one of those.
Am I right?
You're right, because I'm just one of those people that's whatever happens, happens, and it happens for a reason. So, very simple philosophy of life.
Well, Steve, we have a good show today. The Bullpups will be taking on Bueller tonight at home. We have the Chiefs to talk about, whether it was Patrick Mahomes on Sunday or the playoff game coming up this weekend. But before we do that, I'm a happy guy today.
Okay.
And I think that most of you know, if you've been listening to the show for the last 3 months, that I come from a background of being an Arkansas football fan and being a fan of the SEC. And about a month ago, when they released the final college football playoff semifinal teams and the Alabama Crimson Tide got in, people said, the SEC is so down this year. Neither of them are any good. Why is Alabama getting in? They didn't even win their conference. They didn't even play in the conference championship game. They didn't even win their division. And the Alabama Crimson Tide, and I was sitting here going, you know what? They're probably still the best team in the country. And Alabama went out and pretty much embarrassed Clemson last night in the second leg of the college football playoff semifinal. Georgia found a way to beat Oklahoma. They found a way to beat the Big 12. They found a way to beat the Heisman-winning quarterback. Did you have any doubt that it would be an SEC final?
Well, who picked Georgia to beat Oklahoma?
You picked Georgia. I thought Oklahoma would barely find a way. And to be honest, I was very close. Georgia rallied in the final moments of regulation, came down the field, and won it or tied it and sent it into overtime. That's about how I thought that game would go. It could have gone either way. But I saw people going out and saying, I can't even believe people are talking about Alabama. Clemson's going to win by double digits.
What
team did you watch this year?
What have I been saying all year?
Roll Tide.
Exactly. I'm telling you, Alabama has spent the whole year just being bored. They have just been bored. And don't ask me why, but they've played bored. But boy, last night, I knew after the first two series of that game, Clemson did not have a chance.
Oh, no.
Alabama, they were fresh. They were healthy. You know, they were not healthy for much of the second half of the season. But they were fresh. They were focused. And even though offensively, I felt like they sputtered at times, and Jalen Hurts was okay, but not the Jalen Hurts I've seen. I had no doubt in my mind that was going to be a beatdown, and it was. Clemson was just not very good.
Alabama threw a touchdown pass to a guy who was number 94.
Yeah,
that's how you know.
First thing I thought was Dontari Poe.
I
said, you know, that just reminds me of Dontari Poe. But I've been saying all along, and I know people have been listening to this show, I've been saying Alabama. It's Alabama and then everybody else, and that's what's going to be. You know, Georgia's got everybody excited because they scored a gazillion points against OU. Well, OU's defense is not good. They're not very strong. They're small. Georgia looked like a world beater, but when they play Alabama, it's gonna be another beatdown. Georgia is gonna get beat down by Alabama, and I'm saying it right now.
For those people that live in this world where they are sitting around and going, oh, they don't deserve to be in. The SEC doesn't deserve to have two teams. Wisconsin deserve to be in. UCF deserve to be in. What did we talk about a month ago, Steve? The college football playoff, with the way they have set it up, is designed to get the four best teams, regardless of conference championship games and regular season records. It is designed to get the four best teams in. And when people were complaining about Alabama getting in, did they not get it right? They got the best team in. They opened up as a favorite over the number one team and defending national champion.
Exactly. And really, when you look at it now, I watched the Wisconsin bowl game. They played okay.
They played all right.
They won. You know, the Big Ten, I think, went 7-1 in bowl games. So, you know, hats off to the Big Ten. But I think they had the four best teams. Ohio State, I thought, looked really good in their bowl game.
Oh, but they, USC is just not good.
But they lost two games during the regular season.
Right.
You can't have a two-loss team in there. I just don't. Especially when Oklahoma, you know, put it to Ohio State in, you know, at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So they, you know, Clemson, you know, all year had been one of the four best teams. Oklahoma just, their offense alone made them one of the four best teams, because that is a dynamic offense. Make no mistake. And I felt like Oklahoma maybe kind of gave that game away.
They had their chances.
I really felt like it. You know, when you're up 17.
With 5 seconds left in the second quarter.
With the offense that they have, you know, to go dormant in the third quarter. And I think what happened there is Oklahoma played at a supersonic speed in the first half. Look how many yards they posted. And then they played like everybody else in the second half. They slowed down. They needed to keep the foot on the gas, and I think that if they had to do it all over again, they would have kept that up-tempo in the third quarter, you know, going, you know, 96 miles an hour like they were in the first half. Baker Mayfield was incredible the first half. He was pedestrian the second half. And, sometimes I think maybe he tried a little too hard in that game. You can't ignore, you know, how much of a competitor he is. He really is a competitor. But I thought at times he tried a little too hard in that second half. And I just thought Oklahoma took its foot off the gas when it was up two scores in the third quarter.
Now, I'll say this because there might be somebody listening at home or listening wherever, midkansasonline.com, saying, Jim, you're just an SEC homer. You're letting the Arkansas Razorbacks ride the coattails of Alabama and Georgia and saying that the SEC is the best conference. I'll come out right now and say the SEC, top to bottom, was not the best conference in football this year.
No.
It was probably the Big Ten. The ACC had some pretty good teams, but this year it was probably the Big Ten, top to bottom.
Yeah, SEC, you get past Alabama and Georgia, I mean, it was pretty average.
But when it comes to the best two teams, the best three teams in one conference, I think that there is no question now that the SEC has the best two teams. I mean, they're playing in the national championship game. And when you look at the best three, they probably have the best three teams over any other conference in the country.
Yeah, and, you know, the Big Ten's kind of gotten a bad rap down through the years, but look what they did in the bowl games. Now, maybe they play kind of an ugly style of football. They're kind of back in the 80s and 90s.
I thought they got some favorable matchups,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, you look at the games that the Big Ten teams played. It's not like they were playing schools with that blue blood type of pedigree.
I thought Washington was a really good matchup for Penn State, and I felt good about them winning that. I felt like Miami was this huge fraud all year long, and Wisconsin, who's been a good team, put it to them. I'm trying to think of any other Big Ten games. Northwestern against Kentucky, a one-point game there. But to compare Kentucky and Northwestern and try and get the grasp of who's the better conference, that's not really the right argument.
No, not at all. And I just
Ohio State looked great against USC.
Yeah, Ohio State really looked good, but man, USC.
Do you feel good about taking Sam Darnold with your first overall pick?
Well, Cleveland would probably do it, given all the mistakes they've made.
Well, they take me with their first overall pick quarterback.
You look at all the mistakes they've made in the draft. You know, you look at the Browns, 0-16 this year. They have two of the top four picks in the upcoming draft. Is there, you know, John Dorsey is now the guy at the controls. He has taken over in Cleveland. You know, he was, of course, everybody knows he was with the Chiefs before they fired him just before this season. And, you know, he's kind of responsible for building this current Chiefs team. You know, when you really look at it, he and Andy Reid worked together. And John Dorsey actually gives him some professionalism in the GM spot. And he may miss on one of those four picks. He won't miss on both of them.
How about USC? They let me down all season long. I wanted to buy into the Sam Darnold thing. And I wanted to buy into USC being a good team. And every single time I picked them or bet on them, they let me down. And I decided at the end of the year, I said, I'm not betting on this USC team anymore. And then they went out and beat Stanford and won the Pac-12. Then I said, I'm going to ride them one more time against Ohio State. And they
I didn't have any
Same
doubt.
With Washington
State. I really thought Ohio State would make a statement, and they did. They came out and really dominated. They were probably the number five team in the country.
And that's why USC was not really considered at all for the college football playoff. So we haven't really been able to talk about the national championship game much at all. Alabama against Georgia in Atlanta. Now, this game, on the surface, some people might say, oh, well, there was the all-SEC national title game a couple years ago. But this is a different game than Alabama against LSU after those two teams had already played to a 9-6 overtime win for LSU. This is a different game. These are different teams, and I think that some people want to go, oh, well, we've already seen what happened one time when that played out. It's not like that. Number one, Georgia is playing in its own backyard in this brand new stadium that is going to be rocking Georgia red and black. Number two, Alabama is not very far from Atlanta. Both of these teams are going to have a huge turnout. And I was looking at some ticket prices last night. Only like $2,500 to get in the door.
Wow.
You want to make the trip down there?
No.
Not at all?
No.
What if we can get in for free?
Maybe.
Road trip?
Road trip. There you go.
In the brand new stadium?
But
$2,500.
I already know who's going to win. I mean, Alabama's going to win. So when I know who's going to win, you know, I'm...
You know the game's on TV, right?
Exactly.
You can get it for, what, $100 a month with your cable?
Yeah.
Alabama opens up as a 5.5-point favorite. I think this will be a good game. And the funny thing about this is that everybody thought this was going to be the SEC championship game a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of December. Everybody thought that this would be the championship game played in the same building. It would have had the championship game in, but because of the way things rolled for Alabama in the Iron Bowl, Georgia's already played in that stadium this year. Alabama has already played in that stadium this year because that's where they played Florida State. So this, I think, will be a great atmosphere for a game, and all the SEC-hating people will go, oh, I'm not going to watch Alabama and Georgia because USC didn't make the playoff. Mm-hmm. For those people, they're wrong. Because I think this is going to be a really good game. And Georgia, it doesn't feel like they're a team that could come out and be so dominant. But Jake Fromm, as just a freshman, a true freshman quarterback, man, he's got it. He has the look, he has the feel, and he was so confident in that game
yesterday. I think the game that would have really captured the imagination of the country would have been Alabama, Oklahoma, just because
really good.
Because Oklahoma's offense is just so good. I think people wanted to see Baker Mayfield go up against the best defense in the country. And let's face it, you know, it was funny in those pregame they're saying this guy is on the draft board of Todd McShay. Well, when they put up Alabama, it was like every guy they got is on the draft board. Alabama should win it. They get all the best players. Their recruiting class, you know, year after year is either number one or number two. They should be the best team in the country because, you know, they get kind of the pick of the litter. I mean, how many kids are offered by Alabama that say no?
Probably not very many.
Not very many.
Unless they're also being offered by Georgia and Florida and Auburn. And even with some of those, you might say, oh, I'm probably going to stick with Alabama. It's amazing to me that Alabama has had this string of success. Can you name me one dominant quarterback that Alabama has had in this stretch? You want to tell me Greg McElroy was a dominant quarterback?
No.
You want to tell me A.J. McCarron was a dominant quarterback?
He had a good-looking girlfriend, though.
Oh, well, yeah. But when it comes to Alabama, They rely on that defense. They rely on that running game. But to make it to six national championship games since 2009,
it's not like they got
no quarterback.
It's not like they got Joe Willie back there, or the Snake, or, you know, those are two of my favorite Alabama quarterbacks. I was a big Snake Stabler fan. I liked how hard he lived life and was still able to go out and perform.
I liked the stretch when Alabama wasn't very good and they had guys that had really weird names like John Parker Wilson.
Yeah.
The last time Arkansas beat Alabama was 2006. John Parker Wilson, the quarterback of the Crimson Tide. So it has been a while. Alabama against Georgia in the national championship game coming up next Monday from Atlanta. I'm really excited about it. Some people of this neck of the woods might not be. But it was a good weekend. A lot of Big 12 basketball. K-State almost beat West Virginia yesterday at home, but the big win that they had on Friday night, God, K-State and Dean Wade. When Dean Wade plays the way that he has played in these first two games, K-State is a serious contender in the Big 12. Yeah. I still think they'll finish seventh.
Yeah,
but
that's what I have.
This is just the way they are every single year.
Well, Dean Wade's just got to be more assertive, and that 34-point game shows what he can do when he's assertive. But too often, he just goes into those stretches where he sits there and watches Kamau Stokes. I can't ever say his name right. Stokes and Barry Brown just shoot jumper after jumper. Stokes was 0-for last night. He just kept hatching it and hatching it. And somebody need to go out and tap him on the shoulder and say, young man, put it away. I mean, it's not there tonight. Get the ball to Dean. Dean Wade has got to average 20 for K-State to go where they want to go this year.
And the Jayhawks had a good win down in Austin on Friday night. They will take on Texas Tech tonight. And with college football coming to an end here shortly, we'll have a little more time in the upcoming weeks to talk more about college basketball. The Big 12, I think, is going to be really good this year. We've already seen some really good games. To me, it still comes down to West Virginia and Kansas. West Virginia has already gone on the road twice to two tough places to win and picked up wins. And so I think West Virginia is still the team to beat. KU is there, but KU has not played well against West Virginia.
Well, you might as well just – they don't even need to make the trip to Morgantown. They never seem to do very well.
And it's always icy when they go
there. Yeah, and it's grimy and cold, and you just don't want to get out in that weather in West Virginia. But, you know, it's still KU to me as long as
– I didn't phrase that right. I still think KU is the favorite to win it.
Okay.
But I think West Virginia is the team KU has to beat.
Exactly. And Oklahoma, you know, they showed some cracks. They beat TCU at TCU. They were down 13.
That was a great game.
All Trey Young did was go for 39 along with 14 assists.
Not bad.
So, yeah, not bad. Just another day at the office for Trey Young. And I'm telling you, that young man can flat out play. He will be maybe the top pick. I'm going to say the number two pick because Bagley – from Duke is just, I think, an unbelievable player.
Not bad.
And it's always, you know, NBA teams are going to take a 6'11 great player over a 6'2 great player any day of the week.
We will take a break here when we come back. It's time to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and their win on Sunday over the Denver Broncos. Patrick Mahomes made his first career NFL start, and now the Chiefs will take on the Tennessee Titans in the AFC wildcard round this weekend. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KDBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meads Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. For those of you that like to listen on podcasts and you're listening, hey, maybe it's Wednesday, maybe it's Thursday. Hey, thanks for listening. SoundCloud.com/KBBE Sports. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and Steve, we saw a glimpse at the future this weekend in your column earlier today talking about the Kansas City Chiefs win over the Denver Broncos, or your column yesterday,
right,
whatever it was. Patrick Mahomes, you said he had a very good game against Denver when they won 27-24. I wouldn't go as far to say very good, and I think a lot of you know my opinion on what the Chiefs quarterback situation should be, but I thought Patrick Mahomes was good. He made some throws that made me clench up a little bit and be nervous. But I thought that for what he did, he came out. Everybody knows about his arm. And I thought he did a good job. And I was telling some friends before that game that regardless of what he was going to do in that game, whether he passed for 10 passes for 500 yards or he threw 50 passes for 10 yards, I wasn't really going to have my opinion swayed one way or the other. And I thought that he was pretty down the middle for what he did. I thought he made the throws he needed to make. There were a couple of bad throws. His interception was just an overthrow. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is going to get there and is going to be a good quarterback. But I think it's pretty clear that he would not have been ready to go this season.
No.
And I hope that that type of game maybe cleared some things up for people. I saw one person on Sunday say, I just teared up watching Patrick Mahomes take the field for the first time. And I'm like, dude, you have got to be kidding me. I thought he was all right.
It was a glorified,
I didn't think he was anything phenomenal.
It was a glorified exhibition game.
There was no pressure. Denver wasn't good.
I don't even think Tlaib played. And Chris Harris, I don't think, played.
I didn't see a whole lot of Von Miller.
Yeah, Von Miller played a half. There was nothing on the line.
It was a tear up at that performance.
Yeah, it was. You talk about low stress. It was about as low stress as you get, knowing that the game didn't matter. But I took a little more away, perhaps, than you did. The thing is, you see the exciting potential.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't even scratched the surface. I mean, don't talk about barely scratching. He hasn't even started to scratch the surface. He does have a great arm. His judgment is probably the biggest thing that was his negative. He got away with some throws. He got away with about three interceptions. You know, he only had one for the game. He had 284 yards. But he got away with some passes that should have been picked off. But he does, you know, to me, it doesn't look like they wasted the draft pick on him. Not yet. I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a chance to be good. I think he's got a chance to be very good. But again, is he going to be the starter next year? I think the playoffs are going to tell us. If Alex Smith goes out and loses to Tennessee, he's done.
Yeah.
And then if he plays against New England the following week and just really stinks the place out, he's done. But, you know, Alex Smith, if they bring him back, it's $17 million. And I just look at some of the other places where the Chiefs need help, and boy, it's almost, you know, they don't have a first-round draft pick this year because of the Mahomes trade. And, man, it's scary to think about some of those holes that need to be filled, but they wouldn't be able to do it if they bring Alex Smith back. So it's a catch-22. You know, it just depends how far the Chiefs go this year.
And speaking of how far they will go, they will open up the playoffs this weekend in the wild card round. They will be hosting the Tennessee Titans. The ESPN site has it listed at 3:20. I have seen it listed as 3:30. I've seen it listed at 3:35. So at some point around 3:30, go sit by your TV and the game will start. I can't tell you what time it's going to start. But the Titans are a team, they're not playing very well.
No.
And that's why I feel pretty good about the Chiefs in this game. And I'm going to make a bold statement here right now, Steve.
Bold.
I just have this feeling that if things go well, the Chiefs beat the Titans this weekend, and depending on what the other side of the AFC does with the Bills and Jags, if Jacksonville beats Buffalo, then the Chiefs would be going to New England. If the Chiefs go to New England, I just have the feeling that they're going to win. Does that mean they will go on to the next round and beat Pittsburgh or Jacksonville or Buffalo or whoever? I don't know. But I have this feeling that the Chiefs, who are due to win a game like that, and the Patriots, who are due to lose a game like that. The Patriots haven't lost a game like that in 20 years.
Yeah.
They're due to lose it. The Chiefs are due to win. Alex Smith has had a great year. They've already gone into New England and won. It's probably going to be cold. Tom Brady is old. I just have the feeling that if the Chiefs can get there, that they can beat this Patriots team.
I would feel better if the Chiefs had a pass rush. I just don't think they get enough of a pass rush. Tom Brady would be able to just sit back, pick them apart. Gronkowski, can you see Terrence Mitchell or Eric Murray on Gronkowski.
Terrence Mitchell with his big pick of Paxton Lynch the other day.
Terrence Mitchell got him a pick, but man, that Chiefs secondary, it just scares me to death. I don't have a lot of faith in it. I saw Darrell Revis got more snaps.
Revis Island.
Yeah, against Denver, but you know, he's past his prime. I just don't have a good feeling if the Chiefs play New England, especially I subscribe to the Nick Saban theory. You don't beat Nick Saban twice in one year, or, you know, beat him twice in a row. I can't see the Chiefs beating the Patriots twice in one year. It's almost like the Bullpups beating Bueller in football twice in one year. If you told me before the season, I wouldn't have thought it could happen. But it did. And the Bullpups, you know, I wasn't sure they were the better team when they played in Bueller going into that game, but I felt like they were the better team at the end of the year. And to be honest, I thought that they would beat Bueller more than they did in that playoff game.
Before we switch gears and talk about Bullpup basketball tonight against Bueller, I wanted to make one more comment that I've been harping on for the last 3 months. Denver is in some big-time trouble right now when it comes to their quarterback situation. I have been saying since day one that Paxton Lynch is not very good, and I've got a friend of mine who is always trying to back up Paxton Lynch and say he's not that bad, just he needs a little more time. And every time he does something stupid, I text him and say, Paxton Lynch is not very good. And I think that we learned that.
He's not very good, yeah.
And how about Tyler Bray? How bad was he when he stepped onto the field?
He was so bad that
he tripped in a one-step drop.
Patrick Mahomes had to come back in and clean up his mess. Patrick Mahomes was done for the day. Everyone's saying, good game, kid. Did a good job. Then Tyler Bray just kind of hands the Broncos 7. Then Tyler Bray, they go vanilla with him. Andy Reid says, I don't want to cost the kid his first victory. Get back in, drive us down the field. And it added kind of to the fairy tale that was Patrick Mahomes' day. Now, will Patrick Mahomes be that good every game? Of course not. But I thought he was pretty good. For his debut, I thought he was pretty good. But again, both teams didn't have their regulars. This was exhibition. And the only thing was it actually counted, though. On the record.
It filled my heart with joy to see Paxton Lynch and John Elway, the quarterback drafting guru, lose in the fashion that they did. It looks like they will keep their coach Vance Joseph after a rough, rough season there and a rough couple of years of drafting quarterbacks for him. All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, we take a quick look at the Bullpups taking on the Bueller Crusaders tonight at home to open up 2018. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You are listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. We're running out of time today as Steve and I are struggling through the sniffles. We're struggling through some voice problems.
That sounded like foghorn leghorn.
Oh, we've got Bullpup basketball tonight starting at 5:45. And we're hoping that you all stick with us. I'm probably going to cough a little bit on air. I'll have to take
I'll
off
snort.
My headset
and
get a little...
Yeah.
A little bit of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long night. I was telling,
it's all Mark's fault. He started.
Yeah.
That's what I told him.
It's been a rough week or two here at the station. I was telling Coach Kinnaman yesterday when he came in to record his pregame interview that if I had one more day, if the game was tomorrow night, I think I would feel pretty good. I feel fine.
I'm the same way.
I just sound terrible. I can't hear myself.
My ears have been clogged up since like the 23rd of December.
I thought you were going to say the 20th century.
No.
If I had one more day, I think I would be perfect. And he made a joke about Baker Mayfield being sick. And I said, I think I could go play quarterback right now. I just don't think I can talk on the radio. Makes it a little more difficult. Well, anyway, the Bullpups hosting the Bueller Crusaders tonight. Both Bullpup teams are 5-1. The Bueller boys are 3-2, and they're coming off of two consecutive losses to Augusta and to Newton. The Bueller girls are 0-5, and they have really struggled this year. And
not
so
good.
I think we know what the outcome will likely be in the first game. The boys' game should be a good one.
It will be, because Bueller's got a 6'8 center that's pretty good. about 250, 60 pounds. He's really nimble around the basket. The Smyers kid, you know, he'll play with a lot of enthusiasm and play hard. He's really good jumper. And then the Browns, Dalton and Dylan, both good shooters. But they're missing Tanner Lackey. He was kind of their super sniper. You know, he could really shoot the ball, and they really miss him this year. Buehler should be 5-0. They had no business losing to Newton. Definitely had no business losing to Augusta. So, you know, maybe things just haven't quite meshed so far. But with it being McPherson, I think the best thing that happened for the Buehler boys is this game is after a long break. If this game would have been before Christmas, I think the Bullpups would have rolled. But I think with it being the first game back, you know, I was talking to Coach Kinnaman. He said, man, we're not shooting the ball very well. We're a little rusty. That will probably work to Buehler's advantage. But this Bullpup team was playing so well at the Christmas break. You know, they just swamped Andover. Andover turned around 2 days later and beat third-ranked Andover Central, the team the Bullpups beat in the semis last year at State. And they got almost everybody back. And Andover beat Andover Central in that intra-city rivalry. But I think Buehler does, it helps them that there's been a long layoff, because it may take the Bullpups a quarter and a half to find that mojo that they finished December with.
When we take a look at what is coming up for the rest of this month of January, both teams will take on Circle on Friday, Augusta next Tuesday at home, and then at Andale. And Andale is undefeated on the boys' side, and they are still a very good team. Then there's the boys' tournament. Then you throw in Newton in the middle of those games.
For the
and then
girls.
The girls' tournament.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really, really tough stretch to start off the year.
Yeah, January is just, it's always the highlight month to me of the basketball season. You know, December, you're excited because you're just getting started. January is the meat of the schedule.
And you're sick.
And February always feels like it's just the time you're just wasting until you get to the sub-state tournament in March. Of course, it's always the first week of March, State being the second week. But February, to me, always seems a drag because you got that anticipation of sub-state. You're kind of in the mediocre part of the schedule where you're basically playing just the league, and we know the league teams don't really give us much of a challenge. Then there's a game in there with Great Bend. It'll be a good game on the girls' side, be a terrible game on the boys' side. So really, February is kind of a blah month to me. And then it all, you know, the real season starts in March.
Let's get it going tonight. The Bullpups and the Crusaders, we take the air at 5:45. The girls will tip at 6 o'clock. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tonight from the Roundhouse.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.